Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today we'll be talking Afropunk and Lust for Leaf. I am so excited when this time of year rolls around. It's August, and guess what's happening in Brooklyn? In like, what, 2 weeks? Afropunk.
2 weeks.
August 24th and 25th.
Welcome in the studio, live and in the flesh, Jocelyn Cooper, who is the co-director of Afropunk, and Lauren Cannon, manager of Bites and Beats, all of the food stuff at Afropunk 2013. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, and thanks for having us.
So, Afropunk 101. What is Afropunk? We were just talking about it. We were getting into a deep conversation. Boy, if that had only been on the air, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Afropunk for us is a free space for alternative folks of color and for anyone to come and experience culture, whether that's music or food or lifestyle, sports or fashion. We are a website and we produce, you know, a festival that's the sort of culmination and celebration of a year-long, you know, it's a get-together for folks.
Yeah, my first discovery of Afropunk was definitely at the website, like going on the website to see some music. And then, of course, the festival. What do most people think about or what do they forget that actually kicked off Afropunk?
Afropunk started as a documentary. My partner, Matthew Morgan, met a young director who was working on a passion project about African-American kids who loved punk rock and were part of a scene and were sort of outsiders of a subset of a genre of a subset of a genre. And he produced the film, took the film to film festivals and did extraordinarily well and was celebrated, the documentary, and then was left without distribution for documentary that had, you know, garnered 10, you know, magazine covers and gotten a ton of press, and then started to distribute the film independently and ended up over the last, the film was produced in 2003 and then released in 2005. And, you know, I think they've done over 1,200 screenings at everywhere. Wow. From the MoMA and, you know, all over the country and all over the world. So.
And the first Afropunk festival was it 2008 or 2007?
It was 2007. It really started out as the film screenings at BAM and some of the bands from the film, like TV on the Radio and Santi Gold, actually performed in the BAM Cafe. So that's how the actual festival started. And then 2 years after that, the big festival as we see it now, we took it outside and added skate and BMX, and it became a true festival. There was music and lifestyle sports, and, you know, there was some food there and drinks, and it was, you know, it became a fully realized vision.
So I have to ask you this question. People have called me a blipster or black hipster before, and I'm like, what? I am far from a blipster, okay? What do you think of, you know, people saying, oh, yeah, the blipsters, and putting them in the category with Afropunk? I like good music, and really, I'm a country girl. I really, some of the times, I don't really even know some of the artists. I'm like, yeah, I really like that. How do you deal with all these labels?
You know, the labels are fascinating to me, and I guess they sort of come from the film, because Afropunk, if you actually look at the website or you check out the festival, there is no one specific genre that Afropunk focuses on. I mean, we have everybody from Big Frida, who, you know, is a booty bounce artist, to Chuck D, who's clearly, you know, icon, one of the pioneers and icons of hip hop, to Living Color, who are, you know, icons in rock and roll, to, you know, Vintage Trouble, who, you know, most people are discovering, to, you know, these hardcore kids called Unlocking the Truth, 12-year-olds who, you know, are inspired by, of all things, the WWE, and started playing hardcore music out on the street on, you know, in Times Square. So it's all over the place. It's not genre specific, and the whole sort of blipster label, I think, that Afropunk has isn't necessarily who the community is. The community is just a community of people who are free and are free thinkers, and who think and who, you know, are into discovery, and aren't necessarily interested in those kinds of labels. So that mostly comes from the outside. I mean, we have a huge LGBTQ community. No one really focuses on that community, but they're extremely important. We've got, you know, 90% of our audience is very well educated. 68% of them have passports and travel. You know, it's an amazing group of people.
So some of the stereotypes, like most stereotypes, some of them are true. Particularly when I think about, when I think Afropunk, I definitely think vegetarian, veganism. I do. I'm keeping it real. I think smoothies. I think juicing. Wouldn't you say?
No, it's so funny because
I think no pork.
One of the women that worked for us for years is part of the paleo movement, and she is a carnivore, so she only eats meat. And we have, you know, I wouldn't know as many sort of paleo people as we do vegetarians.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. It's just that I think it's the word punk.
Yeah.
That sort of puts that label on Afropunk.
And we are not a monolith. And I think that just definitely kind of is the same thing with Afropunk.
That, I mean, we aren't. And that's what Afropunk is about. It really, you know, we strive to be the number one destination for alternative black culture. And for us to show the world that we are diverse, and that we are educated, and that we are so many things that we don't see in mainstream media.
There you have it. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more of the food and curating all of the great bites and beats at Afropunk 2013. Keep listening. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Hot Grease. If you're just tuning in, we're talking Afropunk, and here in the studio we have the co-director, Miss Jocelyn Cooper, and manager of Bites and Eats, Lauren Cannon. The culture of food at Afropunk Fest. So I want to talk about the festival goers, and because my first Afropunk was in 2008. I do not remember any food in 2008. Was there food in 2008, Lauren?
I don't know. Was there food in 2008, Jocelyn?
There wasn't food in 2008. Okay. In 2011, is when we started to get really serious about food and created Bites and Beats.
So 2008, 2009, you guys were at BAM, right?
We were at BAM.
And then you guys have moved. The new location is
Commodore Barry Park. So this near Brooklyn Navy Yard,
right across the street.
Yeah,
from the Navy Yard. Mm-hmm. So did festival goers? Did they get on the Afropunk community board blog and say, "This is what we want"? Can we get beer? Can we get some paps? What did they say?
I think everyone wanted food, and it was just the next stage evolution of the festival. And then, being that Brooklyn became, you know, like the place for the new food movement, I mean, you know, we needed to get, you know, with some food trucks. And that's a very DIY thing, to have a food truck, to be in like an independent entity. So we created Bites and Beats. So it's really like the food trucks, the curated food trucks, in addition to having a DJ, you know, accompanied with music and food, you know. So we have a Bites and Beats section at the festival, and yeah, it's gotten bigger this year. This year we have 26 food trucks and 7 carts. We have,
yeah, the lines were long last year.
Yeah. So we have a lot. We have a lot of different. It's funny that you were asking about vegan food and vegetarian food, because we have 2 trucks this year, 2 vegan trucks.
Oh, what are they? What are the 2
trucks? Well, we have the Squeeze that's coming, and the Squeeze is vegan. Mm-hmm. And normally they vend in Union Square primarily from the truck.
Yeah.
And it's their first New York City festival.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they are coming out, and also a brand new truck called the Green Radish.
Yeah.
That Jocelyn found the Green Radish. They have never, they haven't even been out on the road yet. So this is going to be their first festival.
Are they New York based, Jocelyn?
They are New York based.
New York and Jersey.
Yeah, and they're mm-hmm. gourmet vegan food, which I'm super duper excited. But don't forget, we got a lot of pig and a lot of beef.
Yeah, we have another new truck, Winging It, which is wings. So they also have fried chicken wings and you know, like teriyaki wings. Things like
what
that.
What are y'all going to do about all the bones?
I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm joking.
We have another fried chicken cart. We have a lot of stuff. We have some repeats, like Rickshaw Dumplings is coming back. Nucha's, Big D's Grub.
Yeah.
They were all there last year, and they'll be back this year. We have Luke's Lobster coming in. So
Luke's Lobster.
We run the gamut this year. It's ridiculous.
And kimchi taco.
Kimchi taco.
Yeah, you guys had a great lineup last year in terms of the food truck. I was really, really impressed. This is a question I have. So the artists, I always think about festivals, and Jocelyn, this question is for you, because I know that you worked in the mainstream music industry. Yeah. And when artists go to festivals, I know they have this thing called rider. What's different from Afropunk, what artists are asking for, than your mainstream?
Well, we have had artists who...
Because you have Saul Williams, I mean...
We have Saul Williams, and we have Death, and we have Questlove, and we have Theopolis London, and we have Big Frida, and Chaos, and... you know, their requests, we try to honor their requests, but we let everybody know that this is a free festival, and we try to feed as many of the artists as we can from the trucks.
Yeah.
And from our restaurants this year, Dinosaur Barbecue is coming to do VIP for us. So most of the artists will be eating barbecue, which we're excited about. And
Chef Robles will be there as well.
Chef Robles is hosting his brunch at the festival, which is great for us. And then we support we support our community restaurants there at the festival as well. So,
and also Madiba, which is also vegan.
Oh, yeah, people love Madiba, right?
Yeah, but the riders, we try to give our artists as much beer and food. And Red Bull as we possibly can.
As long as you keep the Red Bull and the booze flowing, and the water, should be okay.
Do you know the number one thing on artists' riders is Red Bull, water, and hummus?
Hummus, really?
Hummus is huge.
Oh wow! So do you have a lot of hummus?
A lot of Sabra.
There you have it.
I'd like to have Sabra as a sponsor.
What I find very fascinating, Lauren, about Afropunk, really, I would say this is probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, probably one of the largest curated food truck events that most of the attendees will be, you know, black.
Yes.
Would you say so?
I would say so.
It's pretty multicultural. It is, you know, one of the things that's really written about, the thing that's interesting about Afropunk is because we have a lot of black people, it's perceived as sort of a black music festival. And all of the artists that perform at the festival are black. But it is truly the most multicultural festival
because totally agree
black people don't go to other festivals en masse. And that's the difference between Afropunk and others. We have a large Latino community that comes.
I totally agree. It's a beautiful sight, though. I remember last year when I saw when New York Times came and they had the slideshow of Afropunk. I was like, yes, mainstream, just to see, you know, all the gorgeous faces. I mean, I've gone to a lot of music festivals, and the food sucks. I mean, you know, and you particularly don't find street vendors, carts or what have you. This is why I think Afropunk is unique.
Well, I should say also about the carts. I mean, there are different types of carts, and we had this issue when we were first curating, like, we were trying to figure out what is a cart. There are push carts, you know, they're you know, different types of carts, but we have a lot of like gourmet carts, specialty carts.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, we have the steel cart, which is like a Euro-American concept.
Yeah.
And they've only been around a few months. And we also, like I said earlier, have like a fried chicken cart. And that's something that's really rare in terms of carts. I don't know of another one in the city.
And we have some great dessert carts.
We have Melt Bakery that's going to be there.
We have ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, we have.
They're making a really cool beer ice cream sandwich.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just for you guys?
Just for us.
Yeah. And I said,
oh, cool.
Yeah. And about the beer, Gross is one of our sponsors. And so some of the carts and trucks are going to be preparing specialty festival specific menu items with beer. So we're going to have, like, for instance, the steel cart. I believe they're going to have like a beer infused grits, like cheese grits.
Oh, cool.
It's, you know, just an example of some of the things that we're going to have there. We also have two beer gardens, and Kelvin Slush is going to have beer shandy.
Yeah, so that seems like a new thing. I don't remember the beer garden last year.
There were beer gardens last year. They were sort of, I don't know, cordoned off. But now we have the trust of the city and trust of parks, so we're able to have more beer gardens.
Cool.
Which is great.
We're going to come back. We're going to take a short break, and I want to come back and talk about Afropunk After Dark, yoga,
yes,
and bikes. Keep listening. We'll be back. You want to get fly? I got a wide wingspan and I will steal a bird from this man. I'm the best feeling in spell. Plus my shoe size is thick too. And you might just think you can come less quick, but if they ask you what I'm doing, say the most. I'm a floater, I'm gonna flow. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers, also known as Heritage Radio Network. We're talking Afropunk here today. Some cool things. I know we've talked about a lot of firsts and a lot of things that are coming back to Afropunk, but I love the whole idea of Afropunk After Dark. Do tell, Jocelyn.
So, Afropunk, we realized, because last year we had 60,000 people
that came to the festival
over 2 days. So it really is the second largest music festival in New York City.
Wow.
And we found that we had a real impact on the neighborhood, in the neighborhood of Fort Greene in Brooklyn, post-festival. And the festival starts at noon, ends at 9, because we're in a public park, we have to end. And that we wanted to create and extend that experience, and the attendees and our Afropunk community wanted something else to do. So we decided to create this program.
Because last year I'm thinking, what did I do? I think I went to Free Candy last year after Afropunk.
So guess what? We're doing two nights of programming at Free Candy.
Shout out to Todd. Hey, Todd.
Shout out. And that's also where our office space is.
Oh, okay, cool.
In Free Candy. So the first night, W. Kamau Bell and the writers of Totally Biased Live on FX are doing a comedy show, which is amazing and sort of my favorite. They're my favorite comedians.
Super funny, yeah.
And then the Sunday night, we're doing a story slam with The Moth and Baratunde Thurston from The Onion, or formerly of The Onion, is hosting that. We are having an Afro's book signing at Cielo, and all of the bars and restaurants, or 20 bars and restaurants around Fort Greene, are having programming from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What are some of the bars in the
Cafe Cielo, the Emerson. We're having except for Candy. Now my mind is just drawing a blank. Isn't that crazy? We are
20 bars in Fort Greene. It's not 20 bars.
Bars. Well, if you go to Afropunk.com, all of the bars are up
there. I will call out some that I probably think are going to be on there. Because Fort Greene is kind of, they're not a
Lola
lot.
Lola is going to be Moe's. We are programming in, so there's we just have a lot going on. And then we're doing at LIU a film screening with Nelson George. He's debuting his Finding the Funk documentary with George Clinton and Nile Rodgers and all kinds of the Ohio players. Some really cool people.
So, plenty of hot stuff, Lauren, Jocelyn, going on in Afropunk.
Yeah.
Food, culture, music, the whole gamut.
And, till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and my favorite thing is going to be at the festival, the motorcycle show.
Custom
bike show, yeah. And Harley Davidson is one of the sponsors, and they're going to be debuting a limited edition shirt with a black woman on a motorcycle. It's the first time they've had a black woman on one of their t-shirts. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm
going to... It's pretty historic.
I'm going to get two, hopefully.
Okay, so I need to try to get one of those. How can I get one of those? And one of the things I see that you guys are doing new this year, you have this VIP area with this whole lounge and with the bar inside of there.
We call it our VVIP area for the very, very important people.
Oh, pardon.
And it's sponsored by Absolute this year, so we're able to actually serve spirits and... That's something that's really exciting for us, and it's a paid experience. It's the first time that we're actually having that. So Dinosaur Barbecue will be in there. Chef Roble will be there. It's an elevated experience for Afropunk because we have people that sort of want to come but don't generally want to get into the pit. So we're trying it out this year.
No puns intended.
No.
Ladies, thank you so much. You guys are all on social. Facebook's like over 50,000 people on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
We're almost at 60 on Afro, on 60. Facebook.
Okay.
And Afropunk.com and Afropunk on Twitter. And our YouTube channel is popping.
So, and if you guys were listening to the show live, or if you're listening to it now via podcast, all the music that was played in the break, all artists that are part of the Afropunk community. And the dates.
And performing at the festival.
And performing at the festival. The dates, again.
Are August 24th and 25th at Commodore Barry Park in downtown Brooklyn.
There you have it. Ladies, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. See you in a week or so, huh?
Yeah, I'll be here before we know it.
Yeah. Listeners, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk lust for leaf, picnics, potlucks, and et cetera. So maybe if you want to, picnic before Afropunk, you get some ideas here.
Before.
Notice I said before. We'll be back. I'm going to take a short break.
Man, Joe, your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
Oh. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm super excited to talk Lust for Leaf with one half of the author. We have Mr. Evan George on the line. Alex is going to be joining us in a minute. Evan, welcome to Hot Grease.
Yes, hello.
How are you? Welcome to Hot Grease.
Thanks for having me.
I'm super excited. We're going to try to get Alex on the phone to talk a little bit about you guys' new book, Lust for Leaf, Veggie Crowd Pleasers to Fuel Your Picnic, Potlucks, and Ragers. We were just talking, I don't know if you had a chance to tune in, but we were talking earlier about the Afropunk Music Festival that's happening in Brooklyn on the 24th and 25th. And I was like, this is perfect. You know, when I think Afropunk, when I think festivals, I definitely think picnic. And your new book is it's spot on of how to entertain, you know, all the pickies of the folks when you're going to a super slamming music focused festival. What are some tips do you have for folks before they even start thinking about what's on the menu if they're packing for a picnic for a music festival? Should people be looking at how they're going to pack up all the stuff or how much stuff to take?
Yeah, I mean, first step is probably buying like 4 or 5 fanny packs for everybody to wear. we have one whole recipe, or actually 4 recipes of that we call fanny pack popcorn, and it's for our hiking section. And we were asking ourselves, what's the lightest possible snack that you can take lots of places? And so we came up with screwing around with popcorn flavors, pizza popcorn, guacamole popcorn, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
I
think the way you're going to carry a bunch of food is probably, you're right, it's probably the smartest first question to ask.
I do love the whole idea of a fanny pack because you can, you know, stick your little flask of stuff in there, your little nuts. You guys have a few nut recipes in there. You can totally do that. So, yes, definitely, number one, I'd say decide how are you going to pack up all of whatever you're going to take. Also, too, I think a lot of people think, oh, gosh, they want to make a whole bunch of sandwiches, and then they forget, like, 2 of the people that are coming are they're vegetarian, and they want to do some roast beef sandwiches or some kind of tuna or what have you. What ideas do you have for crowd-pleasing vegetarian sandwiches?
2 words for you. Bon mi. It is probably the simplest sandwich that you can make ahead of time, jam in some plastic wrap, and it'll get better, not worse. Because, I mean, most sandwiches, they get soggy. Especially with veggies, you're working with fresh lettuce or something. Like, forget about it. It's going to be gross when you get to it. But the one sandwich that we have in the book is a coconut seitan banh mi. And it doesn't really matter what kind of meat or fake meat or non-meat you're using. When you're working with something like pickled carrots and pickled daikon, they could sit out in the hot sun for a day and you know, just get stinkier and better. So you're not going to have wilted lettuce. Mayo will help that crispy baguette get a little bit, you know, softer to bite into. Everything is working in your favor if you do banh mi sandwiches.
I want to talk now, I love the idea of the sandwiches. In your book, each recipe, you guys have a beverage and a soundtrack, or more so a song attached to each one. Bringing alcohol or booze to a picnic with friends, how do you decide? Do you just say, oh, I'm PBRs all day long, or do you really get creative and come up with some kind of punch or just go with the beer?
Alex and I never say PBRs because we wouldn't drink it personally. But, I think if you're going for it's a hot day, you want something, quote unquote, refreshing, which now is the key word for beer, apparently. you go for something like a little bit lighter, like maybe a Dale's Pale Ale or Mama Yellow Pills, also out of Colorado. Go for something under 6% alcohol, because when you talk about craft beer, you're usually dealing with 6% and up. But, it's a hot day, you want something light, then look for something in the 4 and 5 range. Pilsners are kind of getting really popular again right now. They're always sort of high on water content, so you feel like you're doing something good for yourself when you're chugging a more watery beer. It really depends on what you're what you're eating, but for, you know, late summer beers, I think look for something in a can, because you can bring it to your picnic or your summer festival, and then you can just crush them with your foot when you're done, and, for, you know, don't have to pack out a whole ton of glass.
I love it. I love it. One of the recipes, I don't know how you would do this. I don't know if it would hold up on a picnic, but definitely if you're entertaining at home, is the Awesome Blossoms, the stuffed squash blossoms. Totally in love and been in love with squash blossoms for the last few years. And you guys have the trick. I think a lot of people don't realize that beer really makes squash blossoms, the batter, very yummy and crispy. Do tell about your Awesome Blossoms in the book.
Sure. So in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, we've noticed squash blossoms at our farmers markets. They've really sort of been high profile on people's menus. A lot of like sort of bar friendly, drinking friendly menus will have squash blossom fritters or what have you, usually stuffed with goat cheese. And the attitude about them is generally so precious, like like these are little gems that have to be caressed.
I love it.
They are delicate, but I guess our thinking was, why not do something more robust or animalistic with them? So we basically took one of our favorite flavors, which is animal style, in the In-N-Out burger lexicon. We're basically just grilled onions, Thousand Isle dressing, you know, French fries. So we made a potato puree with Thousand Island and long grilled onions, pureed it up, shoved them in the squash blossoms, and then fried them in that beer batter that you mentioned.
Love it. And last but not least, I'm not going to focus on ice cream because I spent the whole month talking about ice cream. Sorbets. How do you keep the sorbets? How do you transport them? Do you recommend transporting when you're doing a picnic, or do you need to just save that for something at home, entertaining at home?
Well, you know, my co-partner, co-blogger, Alex, I don't know if he's on the line.
He never got on the line. Too bad, but you're doing a great job. Alex Brown, definitely. Shout out to him if you're listening, Alex. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on.
That's okay. He's really the sorbet master. He took it upon himself. You know, we researched a whole chapter on desserts, which is kind of out of our element. We don't really like sugar. We think it's bad. But you can't really do like a summer fun party book without some desserts. So we spent a lot of time cranking by hand an old ice cream machine to sort of find out ice cream flavors that we liked. And Alex took it upon himself to figure out, you know, for the vegans among us, for the people who might want a sort of lighter dessert, what's the sorbet tricks? And he really nailed it. He ended up seizing on something that we call Icy Hot, and it's essentially just a hot chili pepper sorbet. And the steps are relatively easy. I wouldn't necessarily transfer it because you don't want it to get too soft and turn into sort of like a sugar water or, you know, scrapey kind of like ice texture. But if you're throwing a party at home in the backyard, something like that, where you have access to a freezer, that's probably your best weapon.
Evan, thank you so much. We got to tell people this book. I absolutely love this book. I mean, I'm a former recovering vegetarian, but I still love, you know, getting great vegetarian cookbooks. I love this one. The photos are absolutely gorgeous in here. All the recipes are spot on for for meat eaters and non-meat eaters alike. Well done. So how can folks find you guys online? I know you're part of a collective, and they have a Twitter handle, but you also have your own Twitter handle as well.
Sure. So you can find us on Twitter at Hot Knives with a Z. You can find our blog. If you just Google Hot Knives, all you're going to get at top is our blog and then a bunch of silly pot references and maybe like some garage tools. And our blog collective is known as Urban Honking. So, yeah, you can find us there.
Thank you so much. Hopefully next time, you know, you can come down to Brooklyn, come to the studio. I know both you guys do radio and no radio. Or we can have you both back on the line and talk a little bit more in depth about West Coast culture and vegetarian culture on the West Coast. But thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease, folks. If you're interested, check out Lust for Leaf Veggie Crowd Pleasers to Fuel Your Picnics, Potlucks, and Rangers. It's in bookstores now. Thank you for coming on Hot Grease.
Keep it greasy. Thank you.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Hot Grease. Remember, you can join me here live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.